Well, hey, good morning, everyone. How are we? Yeah, doing so good, right? Listen, it's only one game, all right? It's just one game. The play again tonight, we'll get them, all right? We'll get them, I promise, okay? I promise. Hey, good morning. It is so good to see all of you here. For those that are new or visiting, my name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at Arbor, and we are jumping into a new series in the book of Proverbs called Make It Make Sense, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But the first thing I want to do is I just want to paint a picture, kind of a dire picture, of our current situation that we're in right now, the reality that we find ourselves walking through and trying to make sense of and trying to hear God through during this time right now. Just imagine, like, you wake up in the morning, you open your phone to some breaking news, you see three different hot takes on that topic that all seem to contradict each other, and your heart rate and anxiety are spiking before it's even 6:30 in the morning. Or you go and you check your weather app, but while you're checking your weather app, you go to some social media thing, and you see a post that a friend posted the day before, and you are fighting every possible urge inside to not comment on that post. Your calendar looks like a bad game of Tetris. You carry work home with you. You are unloading the dishes from the night before, and you sit on the couch to rest. But instead of resting, you hop on your email, and you shoot off an email to a coworker in the name of being responsible. Groceries, rent, gas, all going up. The paycheck feeling thinner than ever before. You are constantly thinking about the bank account and the budget, whether you're pumping gas or whether you're having trouble falling asleep at night. Money and hard work promise rest and relief from anxiety, but you just feel this growing knot where your heart used to be. Someone in the family text thread drops some sort of political comment, and you have written and deleted three separate responses in the last half hour. When church gets out, someone asks you how you're doing. You're like, I'm doing great. I'm doing so good right now. But they don't know about the test results or the disconnection at home or the overdraft fee that hit you on Friday. Welcome to church, everyone. You excited about this new series? Listen, that might not be your exact reality, obviously, but listen, this is, in a sense, our reality right now. And so if your world, the world that you're living in right now, if it feels hard to read, hard to make sense of, if your chest tightens when you open your phone, if your mind is humming at 2 a.m, if prayer feels practically impossible for you, listen, if that's you, you're not defective, you're not broken, you are attuned to the reality that you're walking through right now. Here's the bigger problem I think we face with life. When it gets this chaotic and incomprehensible and loud and noisy, what we tend to do is most of us tend to do one of two things. Some of us, we grab on to certainty. We go for what's most simple. Give me the verse. Give me the rule. Give me the most compelling hot take. And we grab that and we hold it so tightly that we find ourselves unable to listen anymore. Listen to ourselves, listen to our neighbor, listen to God. And we just lose sight of the truth. Others of us, we don't do that, but we just go numb. We disconnect from reality. We scroll. We distract ourselves. We make a joke out of everything, and we downplay every serious conversation because we are afraid to actually engage with reality. And listen, both of those responses, they're completely understandable. But the problem with those responses is when we get in the habit of responding those ways, those responses shrink our soul. We become less than the image bearers we were designed to become. We become less human, not more human. And that's why we're jumping into Proverbs, because Proverbs offers a different way. It offers a better way. It's not a louder way, it's not a way of greater certainty, but it's an older, wiser, steadier path that doesn't pretend and look around the world and say, this is really simple, let me help you understand it. It doesn't do that. And so for this next season, we're going to sit with Proverbs, not to like stockpile the life hacks that Proverbs seems to offer, but to grow as a church, what we are going to do is we are going to become a more wise, more discerning people that aren't reactive to the world around us, but we know how to respond and move in it like Jesus would. We are going to be able to, listen, this is really important, hold complexity without losing clarity. That's what we want to go after. We want to be able to hold complexity without losing clarity. And so the goal, again, is not more noise, not more hot takes, or even the kind of certainty that makes us unteachable. The goal here is formation in a deeper kind of wisdom. It's depth, the kind of steady wisdom that will show up in all areas of life on a Tuesday afternoon at a frustrating team meeting, or when the budget won't balance, or on Friday night when the ache of loneliness starts to make suspicious suggestions. These are the moments we need wisdom, and we're going to be asking God to form in us this kind of wisdom, a humble and hearing heart, discernment that can see each and every situation with him, and like I said, respond as Jesus would respond. But before we jump into Proverbs, and before I give us a little roadmap as to what these next couple of months are going to look like for us in Proverbs, I think it's really important for us to name what we are up against in more detail. And so if you weren't fully discouraged by the intro, you should be discouraged in about 3 minutes. Does that sound good? I want to talk about what sociologists call the war on sense making. The war on sense making. You see, today, we don't merely live in an information age. We live in what many are calling a distortion age. Social media platforms that we spend most of our time on, they don't simply offer truth. They chase attention. And so they go after what triggers outrage, certainty, conflict. And I'm not trying to just present this hyperbolic picture or be like a doomer mentality kind of person. There was a massive study that was done a number of years ago on 126,000 stories that were on Twitter. And what this study discovered was, to probably no one's surprise in this room, false stories traveled faster and farther than the true ones. They had more shares, more like, more engagement. And it wasn't just like bots perpetuating us. It was us, humans, engaging with this kind of content. And so it goes without saying that these kinds of posts, they accelerate, especially when they're not true, especially when they're inflammatory, especially when they attack the other side as the enemy. Posts, memes, ideas that vilify the other side consistently get more engagement. They're like engagement candy. And so what happens is platforms continue to boost them. We continue to engage in them and share them, and then they're boosted more, and the vicious cycle goes on and on and on. And here is the result for us. It's not just a problem out there. The result is we are being formed into people who are angrier, more certain of our positions, while actually becoming less informed, less wise, and less discerning. And while all of that is happening in our minds, digitally, our bodies keep the score, so to speak. And psychologists continue to say the effects on us physically are terrible. The intake on our part is leading to increased anxiety, an inability to focus and be present, poorer mental health. And we try to resolve these things by spending money on things we shouldn't spend money on, eating food that we shouldn't eat, and an inability to be present to the loved ones around us. You glad you came today? This is the reality that we live in. And so, like I said, thinkers have come to call this the war on sense-making. But it's not just waging war on our minds or our attention. As I mentioned, it is our wallets and our calendars and our relationships. And so again, if you feel disconnected, if you feel confused, if you feel disoriented, you are not defective, you are not broken, you are alert and aware to the reality that you're currently living in. And Proverbs offers a different way. Not one that's louder, not one that's more certain, but one that is slower, older, proven, steadier, one that will form in us the ability to hold the complexity around us without losing clarity. And so then what do we do? How is Proverbs going to form us and change us? How do we engage in this world right now when the volume is loud and the facts are distorted and the algorithms are accelerating all of it? Everyone's trying to win an argument. Well, what we're going to do over the next couple of months is we're just going to sit with Proverbs. and we're going to walk through it slowly. We're going to marinate in the text. And again, not like it's some sort of magic set of slogans that's going to fix everything for us right away, but again, an ancient tested wisdom that actually refuses to compete with the noise. So over the next couple of months, we're going to trace four core invitations, four ways that Proverbs proposes to form us and allow us to live and love well in the world around us, the complex, disorienting, beautiful, at times aggravating world that we currently live in right now. Not the world that we wish we had, but the world that we actually have. And so here's the first way that Proverbs proposes to form us, and it proposes to form our posture, where wisdom begins. If you've spent any amount of time in Proverbs, you've certainly heard Proverbs 1:7, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Probably heard that so many times if you've gone to church any length of time, this idea that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is the doorway, the pathway into growing into wisdom. But this idea of fear, which we are going to dive in more deeply next week, is not like this shaking in your boots, wrathful God is gonna get me kind of fear. Think of fear in terms of like going on a great hike. And you get to the vista, you get to the summit, and you look out and you're just like blown away. Or if you're crazy enough to like stand at the edge of a cliff and you just see the immensity of the fall. Or it's like holding your newborn for the very first time. That kind of fear. This idea that it's not about me. That's where wisdom begins. And in this posture, it reorients and reshapes us. Because listen, if we get up in the morning and we start our day and we say, this whole thing, this whole story is all about me. And I know it all. And I am out to fulfill all of my desires and all of my needs. If that is how we orient ourselves in this world, we will cultivate a feed. We will cultivate a reality that supports that. But if we start our day saying, I am not the center of this thing, and I don't have all the answers, and I am so uncertain about so many things, but the one thing I am not uncertain about is that I know who holds this world in his hands, and I worship that one. I worship that God. I am in awe of that God. That is the kind of posture that begins to make us open, receptive, humble enough to receive wisdom and grow in discernment. So Proverbs is going to propose to form our posture, and we'll dive into that more next week. It also proposes to form our inputs. I bet you thought we were going to have another P word right there, right? You're like, it would be a good pastor and alliterate. No, every single other word starts with the letter P, though, just so you know. Just messing it up for all the control freaks in here right now. Inputs. Proverbs proposes to form our inputs, what gets in. Proverbs 4, 23 through 25 says, "Guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it are the sources of life. Let your eyes look directly ahead and fix your gaze straight in front of you." And I think the unfortunate truth is that most of us, we don't monitor, we don't evaluate our inputs at all until something gets out. And until something gets out, usually in a situation where we then look back and we regret it deeply. Like a short temper and a misplaced word to a spouse or a roommate, or the inability to calm your mind and fall asleep at 1:30 in the morning, or you go online and you're just scrolling and you find yourself making some insane purchase, like spending $86 on something called a wireless mini fridge that some influencer told you to buy. And you're like, why did I say that? Why can't I calm my mind? Why did I buy that wireless mini fridge? Why? Well, Proverbs says that these decisions, they come from our hearts and not our emotions necessarily, but the inputs and the things that we've been letting in and the ways in which we've been forming our hearts, what we've been watching, what we've been listening to, what we've been scrolling, what we've been looking at, consciously or not. And I think the great thing about Proverbs is that Proverbs doesn't propose that we go like full Amish and disconnect ourselves from everything and shut out technology. Although, have you ever like just like thought about the Amish and you're like, maybe they got it right. You know, maybe that's the way to do it. But Proverbs doesn't propose that we have to cut ourselves off from all of those things and all those inputs. But it does propose that we guard our hearts, because what goes in shapes us and shapes what comes out. And so we're going to spend some time in Proverbs learning about how we can shape and look at these inputs in our lives. Because I think in a world that is so loud and so noisy and so disorienting, one of the most important things that we can do as followers of Jesus is pay attention to what we're paying attention to. Third thing, Proverbs proposes to form our process, how we decide. And now this is where like Proverbs is going to get like really practical, but honestly a little bit messy. Typically, because the decisions that we have to make, sometimes they fly in some sort of reactive moment when we're in conflict with someone, but other times we face these really big decisions in life and it's just like really unclear which choice we should make. And then Proverbs comes along and we're like, well, okay, I'll consult Proverbs. There's a lot of wisdom in there, and it says something like this. It says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you yourself also be like him. And so you're like, okay, cool, that makes sense. I'm not going to comment on that post. But then the very next verse says this, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own opinion. And you're like, which one is it? And Proverbs is like, yes. Why is this the case? Well, it's because, listen, wisdom isn't a script. It's a process. It's a way of showing up to a moment attentive to God's presence, attentive to those around us, attentive to what's going on inside of us, and a variety of other factors, and then essentially asking, what would love do in this situation? And that's going to change from circumstance to circumstance to circumstance. Sometimes it's going to mean silence or waiting. Sometimes it's truth, but truth spoken tenderly. Sometimes it's walking away. Sometimes it's staying at the table. And that kind of discernment doesn't come from just reading a book or Googling the answer, or rather going to like the latest AI chatbot to help us make a decision. It comes from formation over a long time, from being with God long enough so that your inner compass starts to bend toward his wisdom, toward truth and goodness and beauty. Proverbs proposes to form our process. And lastly, the final thing we're going to look at here, Proverbs invites us to consider those that we're walking alongside with. It proposes that we form the people around us, who we walk with. And it says in a very straightforward way, Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Proverbs is going to be very clear at times. And it's very clear right here that we become like the people we surround ourselves with. Walk with the wise and become wise. We need to learn to walk with people who love us enough to tell us when we're not acting right. We need people around us who will tell us, hey, they'll hold up a mirror rather than echoing our opinions back to us. They'll hold up a mirror and they'll be like, hey, this is what you're like right now. Is this what you were wanting to become? We need those people in our lives. And we're not talking about like a football team of friends or like the 17 friends you had in high school. We're talking about one or two, maybe three trusted people we can bear our souls to, that we have invited to speak into our life, that we are walking and journeying alongside, following Jesus, seeking to grow in wisdom together. We'll need to choose these people wisely. We'll need to show up for them and with them consistently, and we will need to allow ourselves to be shaped by them. And so this is what we're going to be doing this fall. That's the roadmap. Those are the four invitations where God proposes to invite us into growing in wisdom this season. In this world that is making war on meaning and purpose and sense-making in general, the increased noise and static everywhere, what we want to do as a church is we want to push back on that. We don't want to just succumb to that wave of noise, but we want to push back, not by adding more noise, not by developing ironclad arguments or being holier-than-thou kind of people. We're humbly asking, God, would you shape our posture? Would you help us choose better inputs? Would you help us cultivate a slower, wiser process in how we think and the decisions we make? And would we do this as we walk alongside wiser people? All of this not to win arguments, not to escape this world, but to grow in wisdom and to learn to live in a way where we are agents of light and love and healing in the midst of a broken, hurting, chaotic situation. And so this week, here's what I want to do. As we journey through Proverbs, I want to make sure that we're staying very practical with growing in wisdom. And so I just have a couple little practices that, you know, a bunch of you are probably already engaged in some of these, but just in case you're not, I just want to put before us a couple of invitations, some practices that we can grow in so that we can grow in wisdom. And the first practice is this: text a friend, preferably a wise friend, this week, in the next day or two. Make it a practice to reach out to a friend and ask that friend their input on a decision that you have to make. And if you don't have like a big decision that you have to make, maybe it's an idea you're wrestling with. Maybe it's just a thing that's like churning in your heart. And would you reach out to a friend, share the details with them, give them time and space to think and pray about it, and then have a conversation with them and receive their input. Listen to what they have to say. And like I said, I'd imagine that there are a bunch of you in this room that have already made this a practice in your life. If you're anything like me, typically you don't want to reach out to someone because you're like, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to freight them with the thing that I'm wrestling with right now. But think about how you would respond if a friend reached out to you in the same way. What an honor that would be to have a friend come to you and be like, hey, can you help me with this decision? I'm struggling on which way to go on this thing, or I've really been wrestling with this recent event or this recent idea, and it's been dragging me down, or it's been freighting my mental capacity. Would you help me process this? Would you walk with me as I'm thinking about this? Pray together and listen to God's Spirit together and listen to your friend as God speaks through your friend. Text a friend. Again, real simple. And here's another one. Just like take a quiet pause, like a beat. And I would encourage all of us to start practicing this today. Just get your phone out, set the timer for 2 minutes, doing nothing else. You can do this in your car or while you're waiting for your kids' practice to end, first thing in the morning, last thing before you go to sleep, and take 2 minutes and just calm yourself. And like close your eyes, take a couple deep breaths, and invite God's Spirit into that moment. And think and process and just ask yourself a couple questions. Ask yourself, like, what got in today? Just do an inventory of your inputs throughout the day. Pay attention to what you're paying attention to and how that's affecting you and how that's forming you. Think of the things that maybe drew out more cynicism and more anger and think of the things that fed you and gave you life and hope. And then ask yourself, what would love do next? Invite God's Spirit to bring to mind a conversation that you need to have that maybe you've been putting off, or a friend that you've been needing to reach out to. And then be obedient and do it. And that's it. Super simple. Those two things, let's carry those with us this week. Why those two things? Well, I think those two things are very simple, small steps that we can take into the invitation that Proverbs puts on offer, growing in our posture, the inputs, the process, the people, allowing God's Spirit to shape those things and form those things, humbling ourselves, acknowledging this whole story is not about me, I don't have all the answers, I need help. God, would you give me your wisdom? Would you give me your discernment? Remember, it's not about scripts. It's about growing in these skills. It's not about taking shortcuts to wisdom. It's about formation. And like the last thing I just want to say about wisdom as we go into this study in Proverbs, looking at wisdom, hoping to grow in wisdom, is this. Wisdom is not like this ambient disembodied virtue that we're trying to get better at. Wisdom is actually a person. And wisdom is personified in Proverbs, actually as this character, Lady Wisdom, in Proverbs 9. And the house is built and it's prepared, and a table has been set, and invitations have been sent. And the writer of Proverbs says that wisdom is crying out to us, saying, "Come, eat my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your foolish ways that you may live." And what's so cool is the New Testament continues to pull on this thread as wisdom as a person. And you know what it says? It says that Christ himself is the embodied wisdom of God. And so this journey that we're going on to grow in wisdom is not some sort of self-improvement project to just be wiser, more discerning people. This is actually us setting out to further tether ourselves to Christ. Not simply to grow in some virtue, but to grow in Christ. He is the bread of life who feeds us through himself. And so we're going to practice one of these right now as we approach the table. And at your chairs, you have these little cups. You can go ahead and take that in your hand right now. And if it helps, let's just go ahead and close our eyes right now. Just take a couple deep breaths. Would we invite the Spirit of Christ right now to guide our thoughts? Jesus, we invite you. Guide our thoughts. And would you just quietly ask him in this moment to help you think of what got in? Name something that didn't help over this past week, something that increased anger, cynicism, a post, a conversation that tore someone down. And would you just release that to him? Name an input that gave you life. Maybe it was that time in Scripture or a walk you went on or a conversation that really built you up. And would you just express gratitude for that right now? Let's just invite God's Spirit now to help us see what love would do next in our situation, in our lives. Thinking outside of ourselves, thinking with the mind of Christ, who came to serve and not be served, what would love invite me to? If it's a phone call and not a text, a conversation, an apology we need to offer. Spirit, would you give us strength to be obedient to that calling in our lives right now? And while we're in this posture right now, would you hear this? Wisdom's table, it's not for the people who have it all figured out. It's for the humble, it's for the hungry, the teachable, for anyone seeking to see with God's eyes. God, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that he is the embodiment of wisdom itself. When we read your scriptures, we see Jesus embodying, acting on this wisdom, page after page after page, in what he says, in what he does, in who he loves. And we thank you that in your perfect wisdom, you walked with that cross, Jesus. And you took upon yourself the sins of the world, put to death so that we might have life. And you have set a table before us right now. And you are crying out to us to come to the table and feast, to leave behind our foolish ways so that we would have life. We pray for your grace and strength on this journey, that we would grow into a community of resurrection hope, a community that embodies this life, a community that is wise and discerning, that is not reactive and angry and loud. We thank you, Jesus. If you're able, would you stand with me right now with the cup in hand? Jesus said that this is his body, broken for us. Would we take it and eat? And that this cup is his blood poured out for each and every one of us. Would we take and drink?